Beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the rain report for the week of September 17, 2004. I'm Norm Seeley, KI7UP. A virtual sci-fi movie opened as we went to press The Sky Captain and The World of Tomorrow. We understand that you'll see a helicopter's receiver in at least one scene. A number of you hams and non-hams alike probably haven't heard of helicopter's gear. So in honor of helicopter's cameo appearance in this new flick, we bring you this rain report from 1996. Chuck Dodge's WD5EOG has been a recognized helicopter historian, collector, and restorer for well over 25 years. Here's part one of an interview Hap Holly, KC9RP, conducted with Chuck back in the spring of 96.
This is the rain report.
Everything that the company produced always performed very well. It did exactly what the manufacturer said it would do, and at a cost that was very affordable.
That's Chuck Dodge's WD5EOG, who has been a collector, historian, and restorer of Halicrafter's company products for more than 25 years. His collection of Halicrafter's amateur radio gear includes more than 400 pieces. But just how many different receivers, transmitters, and transceivers did Halicrafter's market?
The ham product line is a small portion of what the company actually produced, the total production. However, over the years, and this is an approximate figure on each of these because it makes a difference whether or not you count, for example, the S-38A and S-38B, etc., as two receivers or only one. And in some cases, I have counted things like that as different receivers, and in other cases, I have not. In the S and SX line of receivers, there were approximately 125 different receivers produced between 1933 and 1975. The HT line of transmitters began in 1939 with the HT1. There were, in the HT series transmitters, approximately 37 models produced, including power amplifiers like the HT33, and in the SR series transceivers, there were approximately 18 of those produced, and those are mostly from the mid-60s to the early 1970s. And then there's another smaller group of receivers, which is kind of ham-related, called the CRX receivers. There were about 16 different models of those produced, and those, again, would be 60s and 70s units. Very few of the Halicrafter's units were solid-state, since the company's ham production was actually pretty much over with by the early 1970s, and that, of course, is when the solid-state equipment really came into being.
What about the FPM series?
There were two of those in that series, the FPM 200 and the FPM 300. Hybrid units, meaning that the driver and power amps were tube, and the rest of the instrument, of course, was solid state.
Having played with an old S-38E back in the 60s when I was in high school, wasn't the difference between the 38E and a D and a C primarily cosmetic?
Yeah, the 38, the 38A, the 38B, and the 38C were all the same general shape and layout. There were differences in some of the internal small components. The biggest difference between the straight S-38 and the lettered models that came later is that the 38 had actually six tubes and a variable frequency BFO along with an audio noise limiter. And, of course, the A through E models did not have those features. And there were other differences, like toward the end of the run, the E model, for example, used all miniature 7-pin tubes instead of the octal tubes. But basically, yeah, that's correct. It's a repackaging of the same radio with slightly more state-of-the-art components each time it was produced.
At what point did Halicrafter convert from regenerative to super heterodyne receivers?
Pretty early in the game, the regenerative sets would have been the S1, the S2, the S3, and I can't recall offhand if the S4, 5, and 6, which incidentally were the same radio with one frequency band difference. Those, I believe, were super heads. The 1, 2, and 3 were TRF regenerative receivers. The super heads came out probably in late 1934. 1935, and it was super hit from then on.
Did Hallicrafter market any of its equipment under other names or produce equipment for other companies?
Yes, in both instances. First of all, there was a merger between the Ekafone Radio Company and Hallicrafters back in the very beginning of the company. That marriage continued to the very end, although the name Ekafone was pretty much sub-name, wasn't well known, but the Ekafone radios were a product of Hallicrafters. They were usually shortwave listening type units that came out basically post-war in the late 40s and very early 1950s. It was a wholly owned or, you know, subsidiary of the Hallicrafters company. It was one and the same.
I'm speaking with Austin, Texas amateur Chuck Dotchess, WD5EOG, considered the collector, historian, and restorer of Hallicrafters products.
You're listening to RainReport.com, the only authorized internet source for rain audio.
As to Hallicrafters actually producing equipment for other companies, they did that as well. Most of that equipment would have been in the receiver line, and most of that in home entertainment type of equipment. However, they did produce some Citizens Band radios specifically for Sears and Roebuck. Sears, I guess, puts out a contract, and whoever got the lowest bid got to build radios for them, and that's one of the things that Hallicrafters did.
How many radios did Hallicrafters sell?
Unfortunately, production records of that nature, although I've been looking for them for years, are not available. They've either been lost or destroyed many years ago, so no one really knows exactly how many of each item, receiver or transmitter, was produced. There are, however, some figures on some of the instruments, like the SX-28's, the fairly well-known figure of 50,000 units. That's about the only one that I can really think of that's fairly well-known.
Which models are the most valuable?
What is most in demand and consequently is commanding the highest dollar amounts, I would say that the SX-88, which is a 1952 vintage general coverage top-of-the-line receiver, is probably the hottest of the Hallicrafters receivers at this point. It's in good condition, anywhere from $800 to $1,200 is an average range. The SX-115, which is a late 1950s hamband-only receiver, and it was also the top-of-the-line, has come into vogue in the last couple of years. It is on the average between $400 and $500, and this is for good equipment. This is not for beat up equipment. The SX-100, which is another general coverage receiver from the late 1950s, in the process of coming into vogue, and the prices are going up on that one. As to why they are popular, there has of course been a tremendous resurgence of interest in communications of equipment of all kinds in the last few years. People are starting to acquire this equipment and restore it and write articles about it in some of the popular trade magazines, and the articles themselves, I think, generate interest in the products, and I think that's how the demand is created. Most of those radios that I mentioned are not particularly what I call rare. They're out there, and like the SX-100s and the 115s are fairly common radios, but the people that have them are not wanting to let go of them. So that's what drives the price up. The SX-88s, although there were three production runs, are not quite as common because they were a top-of-the-line unit and not as many people could afford to buy them as the less expensive midline units. There's not a lot of demand for the Hallicrafter solid-state equipment simply because they didn't produce much of it. They produced a few 2-meter handheld units. There were some small solid-state walkie-talkie CB units. And, of course, the FPM 300 transceiver. Just about all of those equipment would have an equal use as a usable piece of equipment as it would a collector item. So consequently, the prices on those and the collectability is pretty low at this point.
This has been part one of a Rain rerun, an interview with the Hallicrafters collector Chuck Dotchess, WD5EOG, interviewed by Rain founder-producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, for the Rain Report back in the spring of 1996. We'll hear more about collecting and restoring Hallicrafters gear next time. Hopefully, in the meantime, we'll learn just which Hallicrafters radio is portrayed in the new sci-fi movie, The Sky Captain, and The World of Tomorrow. If you have seen this new flick and recognize just which Hallicrafters radio is shown, please drop Hap a note at Hap, spelled H-A-P, at rainreport.com. That's HAPRAINREPORT.COM. The Rain Report is copyright 2004. Rain, all rights reserved. I'm Norm Seeley, KI7UP.